This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good Thursday morning to you. It is a throwback Thursday today, so what do we have in store? That's always the mystery box that we open on the Thursday show. But we do know this, because it's football season, we do have a Thursday night game. Well, you know, that game could have gotten canceled due to COVID, so I shouldn't be that so confident that there would be one. There is one tonight, the Los Angeles Rams taking on the Patriots. Once again, the Patriots did this thing where they were like out in L.A. anyway, so they just stuck around, and now they're going to play the Rams. So they're coming off that 45-0 victory against the Chargers, and the Rams, if you haven't been paying much attention to the Rams, they're 8-4 and are playing very good football right now, tied with Seattle for the division lead in the NFC West. There's going to be a conversation when this season is over. You know it's coming. And we're going to get into it a little bit. With Tom Brady and the Buccaneers struggling at 7-5 and the Patriots at 6-6, you know the conversation is going to come at the end of the season, which was which one of these two, Belichick and Brady, got the better end of splitting up? Who got the better end of the divorce? And right now, today, I don't know if you could answer that. Naturally, the Patriots were going to struggle not having one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time under center. And Brady was going to have a learning curve in Tampa. He just wasn't going to arrive with the Buccaneers and lead them to a 14-2 season, even though early indications were, man, things are really clicking. He's also older, and he's, you know, father time is starting to hit him a little bit. But you know that's what we do. We have watched this relationship for 20 years. It is broken up. We all anticipated that it was going to be broken up. I mean, even our guys in Boston kept saying, this is it. You know, all the signs are pointing to Brady leaving this team. And then he did. And we are quick to make the sort of judgments immediately, when really, probably the answer is more drawn out. It's more of a longer play. We'll discuss that coming up in a little bit. And we also got the college football mess that's starting to get cleaned up a touch when it comes to the college football playoff. Because guess who's playing in the Big Ten title game? Yep, the Buckeyes. Because you know what? It wouldn't be a college football playoff without a controversy with Ohio State. We got that coming up in the show, but also Throwback Thursday. We'll tell you what happened on this date a certain number of years ago. As we continue, it is Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it is a Throwback Thursday, and we will get to why this year is important coming up. But before we do, everyone's temperature varies throughout the day. It's important that you screen for fever in the morning and in the evening. Fever is a sign of COVID-19, so stay safe with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. This is the number one song this week in 2007.
Yes.
Because, 2007! Because on this date, Michael Vick was convicted of dog fighting and went to prison for it on this date. So, have you seen the Vic documentary, the 30 for 30, that was out like a year ago, 2 years ago? I can't remember when it came out.
It's probably one of those that's like, oh, it's
it was
been
recent.
Like, I know, but it'll probably be like, oh, it's been
right.
5 years. And you're like,
yeah, somebody on Twitter will tell me it was 2013 or something.
Yeah,
and
like,
I'll go,
no,
oh, really? Because it felt
long.
Like yesterday. But it wasn't that long ago that the Vic documentary came out.
Yeah.
It's a better way of putting all of the Vic dogfighting thing into context, because it showed you how horrific it was, and then it also talked about the cultural influence that Vic grew up. You know, this was a kind of a normal thing, and it kind of put the two and two together. It did a really good job. It talked about him arriving in Atlanta, becoming a superstar, and the family that, you know, he was supporting and whatnot. But it got into the dogfighting pretty good, and Vic went to jail for it. And remember at the time how that people were so outraged by this, and people swore. I mean, the NFL people.
He was
not
never
just
coming
fans.
Back.
Not, yeah, exactly. Not just fans, because fans get a little over emotional and they make bold statements. But you kind of count on like the Adam Schefters of the world to sort of go, well, let's be honest, he's not, you know. But people thought he'll never play again. That the trouble that would follow him trying to get back in the league from like PETA and dog lovers, yep, and that would just be too, like a team would go, God, he might be good, yeah, but I don't need him that badly.
He's tainted goods. I mean, there was
I don't want the hassle.
There's no chance he was coming back. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, you put it into context of like the reason, one of the reasons why Colin Kaepernick never got a job,
yeah,
was because teams just didn't want the headache.
Right.
And that's exactly what it was with Michael Vick. Like, people did not want the headache. Owners did not want media to be sitting there and, you know, not focusing on the game, asking all the players, hey, what do you think about playing with Michael Vick?
Right. That was the problem. You're right. Everything was going to be about Vick. Everything was going to be about the protests that were going to be outside the stadiums. And it didn't feel like it was one of those protests that would just disappear after a while. It felt like it would, they would travel with it wherever they went. Even if he wasn't playing or just on the team as a backup, that it was just too much. And so he spent 2 years away from the game, went to prison, came back, got a gig with the Eagles, and eventually became their starter and had a really good second half of his season.
Yeah.
Turned it into some, like, he had signed a big deal with Atlanta, and then he signed a big deal with Philadelphia. Ended up closing out his career with the Jets in Pittsburgh, but led the Eagles to 2 playoff appearances when he got back into the, helped them at least get into the playoffs.
Not only that, 2010's comeback player of the year.
Yeah, that's right. Comeback player of the year. So there is, you know, and you see him a lot on TV. He's doing a lot of like bits, you know, talking football and whatnot. So he has had sort of a second act to his career, but go back to 2007 when he was going away for this. People thought that was the last you're going to hear from him. He wasn't going to stay in prison forever, but the people thought, that's it. He's done. We'll never accept him back into the sports society. And he's just too much tainted goods, but he's been able to turn it around. But I didn't know anything about dogfighting, man. I remember in 2007 doing a show in Colorado Springs, and I went nuts on this. And I remember people calling me saying, oh, no, you don't get it. It actually happens, and people grow up with this. And, so I had to do my research on it. Still didn't like it. I still didn't agree with it. I still thought it was pretty barbaric and ridiculous. But I went hard on Vic, and I was one who really was like, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be able to come back from this. But at the same time, we know something about being a professional athlete in this world, right? We know that maybe outside of Kaepernick, usually get second chances. You know, if you are showing some remorse, if you show you can, you know, we see it time and time again where we say, that guy will never play in the NBA again. And sure enough, a couple years later, he's back in the NBA again. Whether it's baseball or, you know, football or whatnot, if you've got something to offer, if you've got an athletic talent that people can utilize, they usually find a way to utilize it. Not all the time, because we're still swimming in that why doesn't Colin Kaepernick get a gig thing. But a lot of the times you do. I mean, some athletes don't come back because they can't offer anything. But sometimes you hear these where a player is trying to turn their life around and there's that one coach that remembered him and is going to give him the second chance, but it still comes with something to offer, right? It's not a charity. It's usually, I like your talent and I think I'm going to give you the chance because you can offer us something, even if it feels like I'm offering you a lifeline. But it still usually comes with the fact that that athlete offers a talent that can be utilized by the organization. Not often do athletes who can't produce get chances to make the kind of money that you can make as a professional athlete. But yeah, this is on this date, 2007. All right, so I talked about this at the top of the hour. The Patriots playing tonight at 6-6, and Cam Newton has had a very, you know, not a Cam Newton-like year. He doesn't throw for a lot. He runs for a few, but that's really it. And the question is going to be at the end of the season when the Patriots season is wrapped up, put into a bow, and the Buccaneers season is wrapped up and put into a bow, whatever those two organizations go to. Maybe the Patriots make a run, win their last 4 games, and make the playoffs. Maybe the Buccaneers stumble and don't make the playoffs, or maybe they make it to the Super Bowl. Who knows? But whatever the end result is for the Patriots and the Buccaneers, you know the conversation afterwards is going to be, who got the better end of this? Who got the better end of the divorce? And I don't like looking at it that way, because I think in the end, both sides of the Belichick-Brady debate had some things that were going to not work for them. The idea of the Patriots just moving along without Tom Brady, winning the AFC East, going 13-3, being a Super Bowl favorite was ludicrous. Let's be honest. That was ridiculous. I don't care how good of a coach Belichick is. It's to take one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and just remove him. You weren't going to replace him. And if you did, that really would have said a lot about Brady's career. If you could just bring in a Jarrett Stidham and the machine just rolled along to another Super Bowl. But at the same time, Brady had another obstacle, which is going to a brand new team, under a new coach, new players, new system, working within the construct of what the Buccaneers do and what Bruce Arians does. And we're starting to see some discontent right now. But go back to the Patriots for a second. Let's say in Tony's mythical, magical world, the Patriots didn't win Super Bowls with a quarterback. They won Super Bowls with a running back. Let's just say they had the greatest running back of all time. I got every time he touched the ball, he would score. He'd rush for 150 yards a game. He was unstoppable. And he was the main reason the Patriots won Super Bowls. Replacing him, you'd be like, okay, look, we just got to find some running backs so we could get, you know, the same kind of statistical result, make sure the offensive line is creating opportunities. It may not be the same, but, you know, we could do that. Quarterback is a completely different entity, right? And that's why Brady was special. I don't care if he was under Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick. He was a very, very, very good player. He was clutch when they needed to be clutch. He was smart when they needed the quarterback on the fly to be smart, and they found ways to win. And when they did stumble, they didn't stumble for very long. They'd lose games and bounce right back. It was a special career. So replacing him was never going to be as simple as some people thought it would be because they believed in the structure of the Patriots. The structure of the Patriots for 20 years included those two main ingredients, and removing one, you're not just going to replace it with, you know, gluten-free flour. Both sides were going to have to go through their own thing. So when you get to the end of the season and people are going to wonder which one got the better of the deal, it's not going to be an easy answer unless one of them takes the team further in the postseason than expected. Maybe Brady leads them to a Super Bowl. You know, maybe they click. You know, we talked about this yesterday with the NFC. The NFC is not loaded for bear like the AFC seems to be, right? You got Green Bay on top. You know, you've got the NFC East. But other than that, I mean, Minnesota's at 6-6. They're the last playoff team in right now as we speak. Maybe the Buccaneers find something that works. Their defense is, you know, at times can play really good. And Brady can look really sharp with those weapons. And maybe they make a run. It still doesn't mean that he got the better end of the deal right now. It's a long play. No matter what people think of Cam Newton, he was always going to be a stopgap measure, right? He was always going to be keeping the seat warm for whoever was going to be the starter. And I think it was perfect for the Patriots to play this out. They got Cam Newton cheap. And here's the other part of it. It's something that, you know, again, we talk about it. We have a promo running when we bring it up about Alex Trebek. You don't want to be the guy that follows the guy. But if you're going to find the guy that follows the guy, might as well be a former MVP rather than some kid in college who's making his first start or third start or fifth start sitting on the bench waiting for an opportunity. It's better to kind of go down this route where you got a guy, former MVP, coming off some injuries, people are doubting him, bring him in for $1 million, have him play, and then groom your next quarterback successor. Because whoever it is, if it's Jarrett Stidham, he's not following Brady, he's following Cam Newton. And that's better for the psyche. And the same thing with Brady here. Brady walked into a Buccaneers team that has been in the playoffs since 2007. You want to know how long ago it was for the Buccaneers to go to the postseason? They lost to the Giants when the Giants made their run back in to beat the Patriots, the unbeaten Patriots. The Giants won 3 playoff games on the road that year. One of them was Tampa Bay, and that's the last time you saw them in the postseason. So what was Brady really walking into? A fan base expectations, we only accept Super Bowls here, son. No, 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 no. Can you just maybe make us respectable so we could get on some national TV? That would be nice. I'd like to take my son to a game where we don't watch the quarterback throw 5 interceptions and 3 of them are returned for picks. That would be nice. That was what he's walking into. So he was probably on the verge of getting the better end of the deal just by doing that. Right? Oh, I got to replace Jameis Winston? Oh, my God. Oh, boy. I'm worried about that. Patriots, that was another, that was a problem. I mean, again, you're replacing one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, if not the greatest quarterback of all time. And it wasn't going to be Cam Newton just comes on in and the machine keeps rolling along. Man, that was a special relationship. I've told you guys many, many times, you may hate New England, you may hate them forever, but one day you may go, yeah, it was pretty special.
You
I got to admit, I hated it, but yeah, by God, it was great.
You have to have that mindset to look back.
You
and
got
go,
to.
That was an amazing run.
It was.
Something we've never seen in the NFL. I mean, we've seen, you know, we always call it what the Niners, the team of the 80s, or the Steelers,
80s,
team
right.
of the 70s, Cowboys, team of the 90s. I mean, the Patriots literally were two decades.
Two decades. And you're going to look back and you're going to tell your kids, hey, they don't make them like they used to, but I saw a team win, go for 20 years going to Super Bowl after Super Bowl, and a crazy, crazy team that nobody found a way to beat. Nobody found a way to topple. And I don't mean topple like winning one game. I mean like topple like taking over the division or putting them in their place. No. It took the divorce of those two men for that entity to be diminished. That's what it took. It didn't take Father Time. It didn't take other teams figuring out, because Lord knows I've screamed about that for the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills. It didn't take that. It didn't take another team in the AFC going, you know what? Anything you can do, we can do better. We will figure it out, and we'll be the top dog. It was starting to come with Kansas City, right? Kansas City was starting to create that entity. But it really took the divorce of those two gentlemen. It really took that to really put the Patriots down the notch. And that's why it was special. I know at the end of the year, they'll break it all down. They'll say, Patriots probably got the better end of it. It's nonsense. It's just it's writer fodder. It's conversation fodder. We'll see in the end when Brady is done and in a couple of years where the Patriots go with their next franchise quarterback. It's not Cam Newton. Cam Newton's not their franchise quarterback. He's not. But whoever that is, then we'll see. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Coming up next, the Big Ten did what it was supposed to do, and Ohio State will play. What does that mean for college football? We'll discuss it next on Wake Up Call. Please don't stop the music.
Please don't stop the music. It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, Throwback Thursday 2007. Pretty good song right here. Now, who sings this one?
I'm old. Rihanna.
Rihanna. Rihanna's been in the game that long?
Yep.
See, is that odd that I find that surprising?
Probably.
I feel like Rihanna's right. Still young.
She is.
But this song is 13 years old.
True.
So if she did it when she was 13, she'd be young. But if she did it when she was like 20, she'd be in her 30s right now. That's not old, but I mean, it's not 21. I love Rihanna. Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, and squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks of smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. The professional parts people help you find just the right wiper blade for your vehicle, and they'll install those wiper blades free of charge. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It's not as easy as you think sometimes with wiper blades.
No.
I know it seems like it's simple, but it's not. And if you just don't know, they'll do it for you for free.
Yeah,
don't be ashamed to ask them.
And they can do it really quick. Where
and real quick, yeah.
It might take you. I mean, I've heard this from a friend, not my own personal experience. That it might have taken my friend 30 to minutes to an hour
to put in a wiper blade to
kind of figure out the first one.
Right.
Like, then the second one was easy.
Yeah. Louis C.K. tells a joke about how he was staying in a summer cabin and there was a bat in the cabin and he frantically called 911 to have somebody come in. And he goes, and I'm trying really hard not to say Batman because I need a person who knows how to get rid of bats. He goes, but when the guy showed up, he just went, pluck. He just went up and grabbed it.
That's
put it in a thing and let it out. And he goes, he's so funny.
Something along those lines. We have an old video. It was a Thanksgiving back when I was younger, right? And it was, camcorder type video that just stuck in the family. And my mom took it, and for whatever reason, she thought this would have been something that would have ended up on Facebook or Twitter or any type of social media if we had that back then. But there was a rat had gotten into my bedroom.
Oh, nice.
And you had myself and my cousin. And I had to have been, I definitely, I think I had to have been in high school. like at least a sophomore or a junior. Then my stepfather, my uncle, and my grandfather were all in my bedroom trying to get this rat out.
That must have been a funny video.
It really was, because you saw grown men, five of us. I mean, I'm going to put my cousin and I in that situation, that grown men. I mean, old enough that we should be able to get rid of a rat, standing on chairs.
And yeah.
And when
creepy.
The rat moved to you, you're like, ah! You know,
no,
everyone's just kind of freaking out. Finally, yeah. We got it to run out I had a door to the backyard and ran outside.
No, so. I've done the chair hopping when a mouse was in our house.
Yeah.
So I was like freaking out.
It's stupid.
But then you look stupid, because then you stop and go, wait a minute, it's just a mouse.
It's just a mouse.
Cool, just calm down. This is not some Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
So Ohio State will play for the Big Ten championship.
What?
I thought they were told they couldn't have enough wins.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing they're playing another game, right?
Right.
Outside the Big Ten?
They're supposed to get six.
That's what they're doing. They're to qualify. They're playing another game outside the Big Ten.
Yeah. Guess they don't have to now. guess they're
stupid.
Rolling right along. No problems with that whatsoever.
Why even have the rule? Why not just
That's
say,
my problem.
You know, why didn't the Big Ten just come out like addendum to, you know, the 6-game qualifier?
Yeah.
If Ohio State doesn't get it, they automatically put in.
I said this yesterday. I don't think Ryan Day lost a ounce of sleep on this problem. I don't think he told his people. He's like, you know, I'm sure it was, hey, coach, what are we going to do if all these games get canceled? Why am I doing a Southern accent for Ohio State supporter? Why do I always do that?
Yeah, they're Midwestern.
I'm not in the deep, like, what will happen if we don't play enough games? I'm sure he's like, dude, if we go unbeaten, they're going to let us play. Come on. I know how this works. I know how this whole thing works.
Especially leading up. He at one point probably sat back in a chair, turned to his assistants and went, do you really think they're going to put Indiana in over us?
Absolutely.
I know
absolutely.
Indiana's a good story. They're having a great season. We're Ohio State.
He's like,
well, actually,
look,
I'm sorry. We're the Ohio State.
I'm sure he told his supporters, like, do you know how much money this conference is going to get by us being an unbeaten champion that goes to the playoff?
Yeah.
Right? We're canceling women's golf, and you think they're gonna just give up that money over this rule, and we're one game short. You're out of your mind.
Now, did he lose sleep over whether or not he would make the college football playoff?
Good question. Now, that's a whole different angle, right? That's a whole different thing. But I think he's getting in.
Yeah, I've heard arguments both ways. Like, oh, Ohio State doesn't need the Big Ten Conference Championship
right.
to get in. They're in.
Right. They could. They could. But at the same time, I think the committee would probably be going, look, we're not really sure. That's a good question. But here's the thing. Ohio State has had this deep history of being a problem for the committee. I mean, look, not really a problem, but let me, I don't want to use problem in a negative sense. I want to use a problem as in there always seems to be a decision about Ohio State, right? Whether it was 2014 where they won the Big Ten championship beating Wisconsin and jumped both Baylor and TCU to get in. They ended up winning the national championship that year. But they've also had a bad loss where at the last second they got in, or they had a bad loss and they didn't get in, or Alabama got in over them, or whatever, you know, when Alabama didn't win the West. There's always been an issue with Ohio State, right? Do they get in? Do they not get in? Because sometimes they would lose and you go, oh, I don't know about that one. But then they would find a way to get into the playoff conversation, or they'd be left out. There's always seemingly a thing around Ohio State. But you're right. I mean, I think if the Big Ten title champion was not Ohio State, if Ohio State had to sit out, could the playoff committee look America in the eye and say, yeah, with five games under their belt, right, 50% less than Alabama, we're going to put them in, right? We're going to put them in. They get in. They played half the game. I mean, less, more than that, because if Alabama beats Florida, that's 11 games the Crimson Tide would have played this season. And they could be potentially going up against a team that has played five times this year. Right? The committee might go, I don't know. But if let me just say this. The Big Ten should have never had that rule. I understand why they did it, but it does look a little, all right, obvious why you would change it. But they are doing the right thing. There's too much money at stake to handicap the chances of Ohio State to get into the playoff. Even though the committee may have put them in anyway, don't handicap them. And they're not doing that. So that's a good move by the Big Ten.
I live on all emotion, baby. Answer questions never maybe. And I'm not kind if you betray me.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's a Throwback Thursday in 2007. This is Maroon 5. Michael Vick was sentenced to prison for his dogfighting ring on this date 13 years ago.
And I chose this song on purpose for you and I.
Oh, yeah?
Listen. Oh, no, they didn't say it there.
Okay.
But the song is called Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call, that's right, yeah. I like the angle. Nice. I'm blown away how this. I thought Maroon 5 was around like 2011.
They've been around for a while.
We did figure out Rihanna's 32 years old. So
now,
right Not now, then. So 20. So she was 19 when she did that song we had in the last break. God, I'm just time is compressing. That must mean something for me.
Yeah, Maroon 5, I think, is our age.
Yeah, they are. They are.
So it's okay that they had something going on in 2007.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So Michael Vick on this date, 2007. You know, it's that was a weird time, man. That was a weird time.
It really was.
It really was. If I'm not mistaken, right, remember Arthur Blank, they didn't cut him or release him? Remember they just let the legal system play out and then they just didn't have to pay him?
Well, because Arthur Blank's a nice guy. He's a good guy.
Is that how that worked?
I'll have to do
my research on that. But if I remember correctly, because I remember saying, like, because people were saying, why doesn't the Falcons cut him? Like, they should release him. And I said, I don't think Arthur Blank wants it to work that way. I think there's a benefit if he just lets the legal system do its thing and then Vic can't report. And so if they cut him, there's rules the NFL has. Like, if you cut any player for any reason at all, there's monetary penalties and monetary issues. But if Vic can't be there, if he can't report, then I think you benefit in another way financially. So he said, you got to kind of look at it through the financial eyes rather than the moral eyes of the organization.
Doing a quick Wikipedia because, you know, everything is true.
Accurate and true at Wikipedia. Yeah.
Once he pleaded guilty to federal charges in the dogfighting investigation, the NFL suspended him indefinitely without pay.
Okay, God, so you don't have to do that as an organization, right? So, is like, if you have a player like Vic, right, and he does something and he's going to get prosecuted, okay? So if you're the NFL, you could make the big statement like, we are releasing him. But then the NFL goes, well, we don't have any stipulations for why you release a player, but when you do, here are the penalties. Here's the dead cap money. Here, you know, you still owe him for this or whatnot. But again, if you just let the legal system play out, like the NFL steps in and just kind of does it for you. So I think there was a monetary reason why the Falcons didn't make the big proclamation.
So here's all this. Because that happened in August 2007 when he pleaded guilty.
Right.
August 27th, Arthur Blank, pretty much the only thing they went after was to seek a recover of Vic's signing bonus.
Signing bonus, right. Because he had a $100 million deal or something, right?
Yeah, and the signing bonus was $30 million or $37 million.
Hey, you want to get that back.
And so they were able to get just about $20 million of it back.
Okay.
And then they were exploring a trade in 2009, then they just ended up releasing him.
Just released him, yeah. Okay, there you go. Yeah, well, I love going down memory lane on Throwback Thursdays.
Yeah, then he was able to get a job because maybe this had a lot to do with it. I forgot about this angle. When he was released from prison, Vic was mentored by Tony Dungy.
That's right. Dungy reached out to him. He went to prison to see him, remember?
Yeah.
Because Dungy does this kind of thing. Well, he's got that kind of heart.
You remember like all the little press conferences Vic had or any of the court trials that he had when you catch the episode? Vic really honestly didn't think he did anything wrong.
I know. You're right. He was like, wait a minute, what are we doing? I'm going to jail for this?
Why am I going to jail?
It's like I grew up with people doing this all the time.
Yeah. No, it was just, you know, what you did on a Friday night.
Exactly. So, yeah, 2007 is the Throwback Thursday date today. All right, so you know I like Christine Brennan. I don't always agree with her, but I like Christine Brennan. She's been on the show a couple times. I like her work. I might be agreeing with her on this when I initially didn't, but I might be agreeing with her on her latest USA Today column. And this is she's saying here's the thing. The headline made me disagree with it the second I saw it. But the more I read it, the more I went, maybe she's got a point. The article, the column, I should say, because it's an opinion column. Playing college basketball is madness with COVID-19 raging. Just ask the coaches. Now, listen, you know my stance on this. I think that if the conferences and these schools do the right thing with testing, I think you should try to find a way to play. Because if the problem of playing basketball or football or anything is the athletes getting COVID, where are they more likely to get COVID? Home, unsupervised, hanging out with their buddies, going off to doing whatever young people do? Or in a structured environment where they're getting tested constantly, contract tracing, shutting down programs, getting them into quarantine, whatever it is, what's more likely? How are they more likely to get COVID? Right. And that's so again, I don't think people are getting COVID on the basketball court. Like, I don't think if you have Oklahoma and Xavier and they play, I don't think the next day you go, wow, they shouldn't have played that game. Six players got COVID because of the matchup. There is so much testing that's going on to know that when the guys are on the court, they've all been tested and tested thoroughly to play basketball. However, her point really isn't that. And while she is saying thousands of people are dying and hospitals are filling, she goes to Mike Krzyzewski and even other players like Jeff Capel, who are saying, look, it's not really structured well. Like, we're canceling games already. We're traveling. It doesn't seem to be any sort of – there doesn't seem to be any sort of structure. Nobody is from on the top on down. Dick Vitale is saying, this is crazy. Like, and he's right. Go to any website and shows the schedule of college basketball games. You get a whole bunch, and then at the bottom, there's just this big list of games that aren't going to be played. And college football has been dealing with a season where somebody did the estimate. 19% of college football games have been canceled or postponed because of COVID. College basketball is skyrocketing. It's going to go through the roof if they keep this up. It is raging. It is at a time of the season where you're going to get it and get it more. We're seeing it explode. But they're not saying cancel college basketball. They're doing what Mike Krzyzewski had said earlier. And I think even Rick Pitino was the first one, to be honest with you, that was at the center of this saying, why don't we have May Madness? Why do we have to do this in March? Why don't we just postpone this thing until we get a handle on it and everything slows down and then just have a tournament in May? The vaccine is coming. Let's see where that goes. Let's see where this ends up. But why are we playing in November and December and canceling games and trying to squeeze in these tournaments where half the schools don't even want to go? And I think they make a good point. So look, it's, you know, I've told you guys this many, many times. I don't come on this show to try to push some political angle through sports. I leave that for somebody else. But I do look at this and say, okay, can two things be right at the same time? Okay. Can college basketball needs to be played? They're not going to have a second run at the NCAA tournament where it's canceled. That's not happening. There's too much money to be lost. 2 years in a row would be devastating to college athletics. Devastating. The kind of money we're talking about, nine figures, upper nine figures, being lost on the March Madness tournament would devastate athletic departments across the country if they could not do it the second year in a row. But it doesn't have to be in March. I think two things can be correct at the same time here. I think college basketball can slow down, calm down, and still have a worthwhile season that accumulates in having a March Madness tournament that we know and love that's very profitable for the entity. And I like where Mike Krzyzewski is going, and Jeff Capel too, and Rick Pitino too, and Dick Vitale, the same thing. I mean, these are guys they're not saying it because, you know, they lost a game. Mike Krzyzewski is quickly to point this out. Like, this is not an excuse. We lost to Illinois. It's not an excuse.
And just a coincidence.
It's just a coincidence that I've been on the soapbox right afterwards. But who loves college basketball more than Dick Vitale? I mean, name me somebody in America that loves college basketball more than Dick Vitale. Nobody, right? I mean, this guy has been a college basketball influence in my life since I was a kid. Okay? Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm in my upper 40s. All right? I graduated high school in the 80s, late 80s. When I was in high school, I could not play basketball. I don't have any talent at all to play basketball.
And I decided, because my buddies were on the basketball team, I played with them in other sports, but I can't play hoops. But I decided, because I wanted to get into broadcasting, I would call their games on the coach's tape. So I would set up the coach's tape, and I plugged a microphone in. I had my stat sheet and my thing, and I did the play-by-play like I would if it was on television. And it got some attention, and I was on a local TV station and a local radio station, and it kind of blew up for me. But in my yearbook, in my high school yearbook in the 80s, I was called Tony Dick Vitale Desiri. Right? That's how old Dick Vitale is. How long Dick Vitale is being an influence in college hoops, right? I mean, my God, I was a kid, and Dick Vitale was important. If he is saying it's chaos, if he is saying we got to slow this down, look, people are suffering from COVID, but as an entity, we can do this at another time and still save face. But right now, there's just too many games being canceled. There's too many tournaments being altered. There's too many of these non-conference games where I'm not traveling all the way across the country to play UNC Wilmington. There's right now, slow the roll. I agree with them. But we're not canceling college basketball, no. But pull it back a touch. I think that I like the approach of this, because to me, as a big college basketball fan, I am finding it maddening to find out what's important, what's not important, the games that are on. Nothing feels the same. I'm sorry. I love these Big East, Big Ten challenge games, ACC, Big 12, whatever it is they're doing. I love those matchups because you usually get some really good matchups. I have a hard time putting them into context. I don't know what it means. I don't know how COVID is affecting college hoops. It doesn't feel the same. I was a big Maui Invitational. You know where they played the Maui Invitational this year? Asheville, North Carolina.
Because nothing screams Maui like Asheville.
I hope they had Lay's and luau's and what is it called? The big pig roast? What is that called? What's the big pig roast?
Luau.
Is that a luau?
Yeah.
See, I don't know Hawaiian culture. That's why I'd go to you who lived there. Right?
Just a luau.
I hope they totally did that in Asheville. I said, let's make it feel like you're on the island, even though you're in the mountains.
I don't think it would have cooked if you buried it in the ground.
True.
Probably
true.
A little colder.
Probably a little cold. Right.
No, because you know what's weird? I mean, the not having fans, or the not having student fans, I guess,
right,
in abundance. The other day, we didn't touch on this, but the other day when Fort Hays State, I don't even know where, still don't know where that is, beat Kansas State.
Yeah, I saw that,
Division
right.
Division II school beating a Big 12 power conference program. How great would it have been? I mean, you hear the final call and there's just like, ho-hum.
Bum. That's it. You're right. No crowd, no screaming.
Yeah, Fort Hays won. It's like, yeah, but this is one of those games where students would have been losing their minds.
Sure.
Or Kansas State would have fed off the fans and actually rallied and won.
Yeah, that's right.
But, I mean, that's kind of what we're faced with here, is that we're not getting that feel. I mean, if we do have a March Madness and it isn't a bubble, I'm going to assume that there's not going to be any fans. We're not going to have that uproar when a buzzer beater hits.
Yeah. And I think Krzyzewski, Capel, I think they're right in the idea of, hey, let's just see where this goes with the vaccine coming. Let's see where we are. If we buy ourselves a couple of months, there's no guarantee, but there's no hurt in delaying this to see. And if there isn't, all right, well, we'll just continue. We'll cram it in May. Like last night, there were four top 25 basketball games last night, postponed or canceled. Just last night. Just like in the top 25. Forget rest of Division I. Four alone in the top 25 didn't play last night. And that happens every single night of the week. All right, we'll continue along. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, I'd love to hear from you. At Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, coming up next hour, Ben Kirchival is going to join us, talk some college football. We'll also continue Throwback Thursday, 2007 music today. Michael Vick sentenced to jail for dogfighting on this date, but still, the music of 2007 was pretty good. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. I do have to ask, I don't know these artists, so I do have to ask, who are they? Who's this one?
This is Kobe Calais.
Kobe Calais. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very
and
good.
Bubbly.
I'm going to pretend like I wasn't alive in 2007 in the music field, I guess, because I, you know, I already had to ask you about Rihanna.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that one you should know.
I should know Rihanna. Goodness. So, Patriots and Rams tonight. I'll be interested. If the Patriots pull this off and they go to 7-6, will there be a, ooh, watch out for the Belichick-Patriot train moving through the postseason in the AFC? I just think the AFC right now is too tough. I think the Patriots I don't know if they've got enough in the tank. They're going to need some help. I mean, if you look at the playoff standings, it's pretty strong. You know, the Browns are a wild card team. Somebody, either Tennessee or Indianapolis, is going to be a wild card team. The Dolphins are 8-4. The Raiders are 7-5. Baltimore 7-5. I don't think the Patriots at 6-6, even if they were to win the rest of their games, are going to be able to penetrate the top seven.
No, it's just one of those years where, I mean, the AFC, I mean, they're top heavy. You know, with like two teams really have a clear chance of getting to the Super Bowl. I don't know about anybody else. But then there's a whole gigantic group in the middle.
Yeah, and they're threats. And
it's hard to crack into that.
Yeah, I mean, they're threats. I mean, if Cleveland gets the ground game running and Baker Mayfield sharp, they can beat you. Miami might be able to beat you. I don't know. Miami's like iffy, but if their defense plays well. Tennessee can. If Tennessee ends up as a wild card team, I wouldn't want to play them. Right? But there's only one team that's getting a bye. And hopefully the Steelers can hang on to get that. All right, coming up next hour, the good, the bad, and the dumb, Ben Kercheval. Again, thanks for joining us. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.